First off, there we go. I was playing with my presentation earlier, and there's an embedded web page that I happened to click on, and it just went. I have to apologize. I am speaking twice today. I don't know how that came about. I hope next year there will be no such shenanigans. And unfortunately, this is the slower and drier talk. The second one has a couple dance numbers that will wake you all up. A couple other caveats that I will put into here. What I am presenting today is a literate programming document. Okay? And I am attempting to do what's called reproducible research. So I've included in here everything in this presentation that you could take home and reproduce the code and redo the analysis and try to reproduce the numbers that I present. You won't be able to. In the month when I started putting these slides together, and today, two packages changed that I was depending on, and I don't know what the change was that caused the numbers to change. So I'm using some numbers from previously, which is part of the exercise, is how do you make R work? Okay. I'm also using what's called a literate programming document, which means the code is embedded in the document itself, and you can reevaluate the code in real time as you decide to make changes. I use it a lot for detailing the kind of code that we put out into the world and justify what I'm doing. Okay. So let's jump into the meat and potatoes of this. So given a sequence of steps in ordinary analysis of experiments, and I've just picked an arbitrary set, one I can illustrate. There are obviously different steps that we can use, but data entry, model fitting, diagnostics, model building, summary statistics, hypothesis testing, and presentation. How can you take something new, a new method of analysis, a new algorithm, a new way of thinking, and plug it into your familiar workflow? That's the implicit step, and I'll be working in R on that. Okay. But what I do for a living, we write software that manages such a workflow. And when we want to introduce something new, we want to make sure that our clients can continue to use that workflow and be comfortable with that workflow even as we add new ideas. Okay. Well, let's take a look at the next thing. So what I will be starting with is a simple data set of randomized complete block design. Okay. This is a fairly standard model with blocks as random effects. And I've written, let me see if I can get this. I've written the mathematical model fairly standard. Okay, we have a fixed effects portion of the model and a random effects portion of the model and a residual error term. Okay. Why I chose this error set? We also have two more requirements since it's a mixed model. We have this explicit parameter of a random variable. Okay. Now, what we would do if we had balanced data, and what we can do and is done historically, is we can take the expected mean squares from our analysis of variance table, set them to their expected value, and solve from a analysis of variance table what the random effects parameter is. However, we have a simulated data set, and I picked it because it gives us values ahead of time that we can compare to our calculations. But we have two missing observations, which means our treatment effect and our replicate effect are confounded. We cannot come up with a unique decomposition of our replicate mean squares. Okay. And we also don't have a nice simple algebraic model in order to compute that variance term. Okay. So what I want to look at is a mixed model package is how they compute this value that's in between two things. And so for reproducibility, that's the data. And this is one of the quirks with the package I'm using, is sometimes it will have two slides in a row to show that R is executing something. So we start the workflow just using the LM function, which is fitting a linear model. And this is a fairly standard linear model I'm sure most of you are familiar with. I will be using a convention where I type the name of a package after the name of the data set. Now, when we look at R, most data in R is stored as a list. R has this history of being like Lisp, and Lisp is a Lisp processing language. But we also have the ability to tag a list with a data class. And in this case, if we type the class of a result from a linear model fit, we get the class LM. What happens with that is there are generic functions in R. And if we type the name of a generic function like plot, we see some of the underlying architecture, and it just takes in the thing that has an X and a Y and it plots it. Okay? But then you can override this plot function to provide class-specific methods. And so we see that if we look at the methods associated with plot, there is indeed a plot that is specific to linear models, along with all kinds of other things that are floating around in my system at the time. So if we structure our workflow using these generic functions, we can take a complex structure that comes from the analysis, and this is all the details of a linear model fit, and do nice simple things like plotting our diagnostics. And we always plot our diagnostics, right? Everybody looks at their diagnostics, right? We can do other things, update, which recalculates a model based on a previous fit. And this is a useful feature if you're reanalyzing new outcomes or if you're adding or subtracting from a model. We can do a pretty report. And I use the term pretty print pops up a lot in computer science because you want to pretty print an object. You want to see what's in it in a way that makes sense. Summary and print are similar. Summary tends to do calculations where print just shows what's in there. But we took this complex structure and made it interpretable. We also have the ANOVA functions, and there are two of them that tend to be available in R. One just decomposes our model in individual terms. Another can be used to compare two different models. Okay, so those are useful. And then there's a blank. Now, a couple other things I'm working with, hypothesis testing, it gets a little more difficult in R because we have to build up on these simpler functions. One of the packages I like to work with is the multi-comp package. And there's a pretty good book on this and a couple articles on how they go about doing it. I'm not going to go into the details of this. I'm not going to go into a lot of mathematical details today. I was trained as a biologist in the computer science at different parts of my life. And I have this paranoia that there will be some good mathematician will pop out of the woodwork and correct my algebra. I'm not going to show you anything today. I will give you the references, though, that if you do want to explore these topics in more detail, it will be there for you. Okay? So we typically use the GLHD function, and then a summary of that will give us a nice-looking report of our mean comparison tests. And I forgot to note that the GLHT is dependent on functions, VCOVE, and coefficients of the objects that you're trying to do a comparison with. So if those functions aren't available, GLHT isn't going to work either. And GLHT returns an object that can be, again, processed by another function like CLD, which produces compact letter display and gives us the letters that most of our clients like to see for their reports. They really don't care about the number so much. They just want to see different letters. This is a fairly common thing, right? But it is a complex thing, and there's more you can do with it. And so we can always look at the structure. And that multiple comparison test has a lot of information as well. Okay. And finally, the LS means package fills in a gap that took a long time for R to come up with because SAS always had LS means. And when I started looking at R packages, you could get in a really big argument about asking for least square means on a SAS on an R user group. But we have I forget his first name, out of Iowa, has provided this package. And it does give you a nice looking report, and it does makes a user presentable table that you can put into your research. Finally, the ggplot2 package I use a lot because it makes really nice graphics, really elegant graphic patches. And I'm demonstrating how I take these other packages and this thing is going to break me. I build upon these other packages, and I bolded something here. This is one of the things that changed in the last month. The default algorithm for computing the degrees of freedom changed, and it gave me really weird-looking error bars, and I haven't been able to figure out how to make them all look the same as I did before. Okay? I have a lot of code like this sitting around where I've made really beautiful graphs, and then something changed and I can't get the grass back. There's the trade, because somebody has gone to the trouble of making a nice package, so I'm not complaining. Okay. And so, one more function, having built up this function on making a means table, I can then plot it. And again, this showing this tips for reproducibility. And I make a nice looking graph. Now, I depend on the compact letter display to get this part of the display. I depend on least square means to give me my error bars and my means. So if either of those packages change or the underlying structures change, this graph is no longer available. And so, just for detail purposes, these are the mixed model packages I decided to look at. And I'm listing the maintainers, because these are the people in the background who are doing the non-glory, they do the work that nobody notices unless it breaks. So I want to make sure these people are providing a service to the community. Other information about authors and details you can get by typing package description in R. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the details of how to specify the model formulas. What I do note is that we have an LME family tends to use a fixed effects formula and then a different random effects formula. We have the LMER family, which specifies it in one formula with a grouping structure. BRM specifically uses that same formula, but others, like the INLA package, has their own syntax. This presents a problem for me because I've gone to the trouble of validating the syntax for a mixed model. And I'm comfortable with that syntax. And if I want to try a new algorithm, I have to go through a validation process. Okay. So, this workflow, which of these functions work? Looks simple enough, right? Pretty much everybody has a summary. Most have some kind of ANOVA. Almost all of them have a plot. Not that simple. So now we go for the caveat. The first one is LME and LMER. You get a residual plot, but not a QQ norm plot. I like the QQ norm plot. You can call the QQ norm function for LME, but you don't get one for LMER. You can call a QQ norm plot with the residuals, but you don't get the same plot for LME. There's something special about the QQ norm plot for LME that isn't duplicated when you get the residuals. If you've worked much with our mixed model packages, you know there's a big difference in the philosophy for analysis of variance between LME and LMER. So if we look at, quickly, when you do a type ANOVA, you get the ANOVA of the fixed effects, and you get a p-value. When you type ANOVA for an LMER object, you get analysis of variance of fixed effects, but no p-value. There is some disagreement on how to calculate the degrees of freedom for the denominator in all the cases. But we can also go to our linear model and see that our p-values are reasonable that we get from LME. I use the linear model as a touchstone going back and forth to different parts of a mixed effects model just to see if I trust the calculations. We also have some minor differences in comparing two models. We get this log likelihood ratio, or we get a likelihood ratio test and a p-value. But what is more important is we are warned that if we have different fixed effects, REML estimates are not valid for our comparisons. LMER refits the models using maximum likelihood instead of restricted maximum likelihood. And we do get a little bit of differences in our measures of model fit. And finally, BLMER, I'm just adding the citation for that. It is an extension to LMER with a Bayesian component to it. So you're going to see some similarities, but then downstream you might see some differences. Okay. GLMPQL has been around a while, and it has a couple quirks. One, we don't get a log likelihood function. Now, this is where I hide from mathematicians. But briefly, it uses penalized quasi-likelihood as an optimization. I'm not going to try to explain it. I'm just going to assume that you can't replace a penalized quasi-likelihood where you would use a likelihood function and make comparisons the same way. So I'm assuming the author decided that instead of trying to do B right in most cases, just say, you have to figure it out yourself, return no value. So this is one of those generic functions that is overridden to do nothing. GLM-ADMB, I'm just going to make a note of, that it does have some quirks in the ANOVA, and analysis of deviance table, and it doesn't produce the AISC-BIC metrics. I can't explain why. I haven't delved into there. This would probably be another hour or two lecture on how they optimize their model and how that differs. I got a reference. You can look it up. You can explore that at your leisure, and I will probably be spending some time long-term on this as a larger project. GLM Lasso doesn't plot with this model. I can put in a covariate, and it will plot something. And there's no residual terms. And again, good mathematicians will come in and explain this in... I have a mathematician friend. If I ask him a question like this, I get a wall of math. I'm not going to give you a wall of math today. What I will note is L1 penalize. Statisticians tend to work in L2. We work with sums and squares. That's our world. Okay? When you go to L1, things change. You can't think the same way. They're going to let you know that you can't think that way by changing the functions. One to make note of, summary is one of those functions that is always available because you can summarize anything in R. But we find that authors don't always choose to overwrite it. So what we get when we call a summary of the minq package, the LMM function, is just the summary of the list itself. And you have to explore the structure of the list to actually find out what's in there. Okay, this is just one of the quirks of way authors do packages in R. And finally, we get to a little bit of the graphics. These three are of the Bayesian family, and we see that when we look at our diagnostics. We were reminded that what we're looking at is the diagnostic of a Monte Carlo simulation. And one of the things that come out from this distribution is what's used to give us our error bars. It's not always symmetric, so we don't always get symmetric errors if we look at things closely. The diagnostic plots just pop up, and they're all over the place. They're not easy to work with, especially if you're doing literate programming and trying to embed everything into one document. And I put in this because this is just a pretty graphic. They're doing a really good job. This is based on STAN, and our STAN is based on STAN, which is probably one of the most modern statistical computation engines being worked on today. So if you're doing Bayesian work, this is where you're going to be looking at. And so now we can look at what these things do with the one thing we're really concerned with is what is the estimate of our random effect. And again, I look at my residual, I look at my linear model, I see which ones tend to agree with my linear model estimate and the ones that don't. And I also see where there's a difference in the residual error. We see a lot of disagreement in what that random block effect is. And it's not always the same from execution to execution either. And here's my summary statistics. The packages that I can use least square means for give me nice letters, and I can see that the letters are different, right? BLMER and LMER and GLMPQL don't find the same significance and treatment differences. Some of these I had to hand calculate the standard errors, and I would have to hand calculate the compact letter displays. So this is something you think of in your workflow is how do you produce. That P is killing me. Then nobody else in the earlier session went poo poo poo, but I'm just, all right, I'm, yeah. Okay. And this one I just produced to show, compare how they compare with each other. So we put all the treatments together in a group by means, and there is some disagreement. Typically, the Bayesian estimates tend to inflate the error terms. They're cautious about error. That's the way I think about it anyway. I also tend to think Bayesian estimates are throwing numbers in the air and see what sticks. So that's what those chains look to me. Okay, so now, how are we doing for time? Am I going to run over very soon?
You're fine.
Okay.
I just want to remind you that, this is still the first talk. We don't have a second speaker, so we're going to wait until Peter has to agree.
Yeah. This would be the point if I needed to quit. I've covered the general framework of how to study models.
We have a little bit of time for questions, and if you want
okay.
to ask anything.
Yeah. This next part goes quickly. Yeah.
205.
This next goes quickly. I've taken this first example and found a data set where we do multiple compliant randomized complete block design trials. Okay, and again, for reproducibility's sake, here's the data. And we are adding to our mixed model a random effect for location and a random effect for interaction. So we add these two other constraints. that we have a variance estimate for location and a variance estimate for interaction. If we look at the linear model in the analysis of variance table, this is my touchstone. I look for F values that are below 1. Because an F ratio should almost always be a larger denominator over a smaller numerator. Right? Because we're basically looking at a marginal difference, a marginal proportion. So this tells me that there's something odd in that sum of squares. And if we do the algebra for our expected mean square, we find that we solve out for a variance term that is negative. Can't have negative variances. So this is an example that I look at how packages deal with a non-estimable variance. That's why I use this one. When I first started looking at mixed models, I saw the author had described a variance of 0, and that just made no sense to me. That's how they reported it. And so again, for completeness sake, the model formulations. With LME, we don't really have a nice way of specifying interactions. So this is a fixed effects model with one random effect. Some of the packages don't, LME doesn't like the crossed effect for blocks, block within trial. So I had to create a dummy variable. And GLM Lasso didn't like the crossed interaction, so I created a dummy variable. Somebody might be more expert in these packages has a way to do it, but this is what I found I had to do. And again, we look at our negative variance term. We get some zeros here. They're constrained to be zeros in the optimization. In our Bayesian methods, they don't have that constraint. They're not constrained, so they do find a more plausible term for a random effect that's not estimable. And this is one of the reasons I like McMicklin particularly, is it tends to find me a result that I can believe. Although it also sometimes tends to inflate or deflate the other random effect terms. So that's a trade you make. And when you pick a package to work with, that's something you need to be aware of, is what is your compromise in your computation. And again, because we have this disagreement in that random effect, our estimate of the treatment means are going to be very different. Now, if we have balanced data and we're doing mean comparisons, those differences tend to balance out. They subtract out. If we have missing observations, and nobody ever has missing observations, that balance is gone, and we need that extra random term to help us come up with the right covariance matrix. And finally, the multi-environment breeding trial, which the data was originally described in Meta, and I'll give you the full. That data set is not as easily available, but you can get a comparable data set by downloading the Meta-R package. Okay. So if you want to reproduce these, this is where you would go. And it's a sufficiently large data set that it tests computational engines. And what I am testing is a third model, which comes from a Bayesian approach for stability. What they have added is another estimate of a variation, the allowed... Why am I doing this? Nobody else can... I'm sorry. They allow each treatment to vary independently across location. Last time we were all together, I talked about analyzing this as a fixed effect. This is effectively the random effect variation on that, or the equivalent of a random effect. The other thing they do is they allow location variance, residual error by location, to be different. So instead of pooling residual error, we get an independent residual error. Okay? It increases the complexity, makes it harder to compute, but we get some advantages. So let's take a look. And again, trying to specify these. I can specify an independent residual using this term. But I can't get my independent treatment variance. I can get my independent treatment variance with this term in LMER, but I don't have a way of specifying the residual. I haven't figured that out. McMicklin is where I did a lot of the validation of this and why I pulled this one out, because I can talk about independent entry treatment variance and independent location variances. Okay. And we look at the profiling. Well, LM, 2/10 of a second to compute a mixed model, or the analysis of variance using the Bayes model. LME is an order of magnitude slower. LMER has a nice optimization engine, and it tends to be fast, and that's one of the advantages of LME over LMER is its speed. GLMA DMB is misleading, and so is the INLA. It's invoking an external process outside of R to do the computation. And this profiling only measures what's going on inside the R environment. The NLA itself records about 7 seconds for computing model two. BRM, which is based on RStand, which is a C library, takes a long time to compile. GLM-NPQ doesn't like the syntax. LME is slow, or LMER is slow when we do the more complex model. And a few other things. What I like about this is these residual variances. And they do agree between MCMCLIM and LME. Does it justify the cost? This is the QQ norm plot for LME with the pooled residual error. This is the QQ norm plot for the independent residual error. I like straight QQ norm plots. Maybe I'm weird that way. But this is what you can hope for if your R package is working well. A couple things on doing analysis of variance comparison. And the last thing I will talk about. Remember I told you that ANOVA refits the models? Do you remember how long it took to compute that second model for LME? About 4,000 seconds. You hit return, you either kill the process because you're going to be waiting for a while, or you crawl under your desk and take a nap. My boss is in here, I didn't say that. This is what happens if you have a large data set. Right? And so this is the document that I used to do this presentation. And I appreciate letting me run long. I tend to shy away from those extra packages, partly because my job is to integrate mixed models. Excuse me. Should I repeat the question? He asked me about the LMER test package. And I tend to shy away from those as my job because we have a software where we integrate results. And I tend to look at the computational results and then integrate it into our testing package. So I haven't spent a lot of time with that. It would certainly be useful to fit that into this kind of framework and look at the comparisons. If there are comparable MER test packages for the other mixed models. If you work with LMER test, then you're pretty much stuck with LMER, right? Whereas something like GLHT runs across different packages.
Okay. Thank you.